Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome all our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme this week four exciting, talented, exceptional, exuberant players of the game who are going to display their talent, their verbal dexterity, their humorous inventiveness as they try and talk on the subject that I give them, and they do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four bright sparks are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Chris Neal and Greg Proops. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me keep a score. She has a whistle handy to blow when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute comes from the beautiful Theatre Royal, which has recently been refurbished in that magnificent cathedral city of Winchester. And we have a vociferous Hampshire audience in front waiting for us to start. And we'll begin with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is Alfred the Great. What a fine subject to begin with. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The Real Madrid team of 1960 featured Alfred Di Stefano and Ferenc Puskas. And I can't say his name again.
Greg, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, indeed. Couldn't quite get the names of those Hungarians out. Right, there was, it was Puskas, wasn't it?
Puskas, and he played for, Di Stefano played for Real Madrid when they beat, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Greg, a correct challenge anyway, so you get a point for a correct challenge, you take over the subject, there are 53 seconds available, Alfred the Great, starting now.
Alfred the Great was known as the snappiest dresser of all the early English kings. Egbert was also known as a,
Chris, challenge.
Was there a repetition of no?
Yes, there was a repetition of known. So, Chris, you have the subject. We're going to hear from everybody in this round, I hope. 45 seconds available. You tell us something about Alfred the Great, starting now.
Alfred the Great, as we all know, burnt the cakes, which was unfortunate as he was training to be a pastry chef at Winchester Catering College at the time.
Oh, challenge.
Why would a man who was King of England be training at Winchester Catering College as a pastry chef? I mean, you know, it's deviation.
So what is your challenge?
Deviation. It's a portfolio career.
No, I agree with deviation, but actually, he also hesitated. But, Paul, a correct challenge. You have a point for a correct challenge. 36 seconds. Alfred the Great, starting now.
It's one of those stories that we're told as children. I'm not quite sure what the moral is meant to be. As Chris mentioned, this Alfred had indeed burnt the cakes. What are we meant to glean from that story? I don't know. Perhaps somebody, when they take over the subject...
Clement, challenge.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay. Yes, no.
So, Clement, 25 seconds on Alfred the Great, starting now. So, Paul.
It's hesitation.
I know you bluffed him out of it.
I was waiting for dictation speed. I want to hear about it.
So, Paul, you take over the subject. Yep. 25 seconds on Alfred the Great, starting now.
Bruce Wayne as Batman needed to have a butler he could trust, and so he settled on Alfred. He was his manservant, and if you remember the comic strip, or indeed the films, later when the caped crusader got himself a little sidekick by the name of Robin, always Alfred was in the background.
Clement, challenge.
It was a mistake.
But you can't remember what it was.
I shouldn't have challenged.
I know you shouldn't. You thought he repeated Alfred, and Alfred's on the card.
Give him a point.
Right. So, an incorrect challenge, Paul.
Yeah.
You still have the subject.
Can I have a bonus point?
No. No. 7 seconds on Alfred the Great, Paul, starting now.
I remember one adventure when they faced the Riddler, this extraordinary villain who stood in the middle of the Batcave and said to the two superheroes...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and at the end of that round, he has taken a strong lead. He's got 5 points, and Greg, Chris and Clement all have 1 point each. And we move to Greg Proops. Greg, will you take the next subject? I don't know whether this has been chosen for you, but it's Zen Buddhism. But you can try and talk on the subject if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
Where I live in Hollywood, there are a series of belief systems that enable one to get ahead in show business. Kabbalah being the primary one of popularity at the moment, Zen Buddhism had its...
It's all right. I'm glad you restrained yourself. They, Paul, you're challenged.
Well, it's a shame. It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
But if you're really a Buddhist, then you know that everything is everything.
Yeah.
46 seconds available. You tell us something about Zen Buddhism, Paul, starting now.
Zen Buddhism seeks that level that's known as nirvana. With me now, concentrate silently for the next 45 seconds.
Chris has challenged you during the 45 seconds.
Really?
Yes. But we will give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed what you did and said so much. But Chris, you have a hesitation. Correct challenge for that. A point to you. 40 seconds. Zen Buddhism starting now.
If you're a Buddhist and you chant really well for it, you'll get a pair of Jimmy Choos by the weekend. It all comes to those who ask.
All challenged.
Hesitation.
There was a definite hesitation.
Yeah.
You dried up, didn't you?
No, I've got nothing to say on it.
Mm-hmm. 32 seconds. Zen Buddhism with you, Paul, starting now.
There was a popular book printed in the early 1970s, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I believe it didn't really have particularly much to do with the repair of bicycles or mechanised wheels. It was more...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of repair.
No. No, and the audience said no as well.
They weren't listening.
I wasn't listening.
I think he did. He said,
and the repair.
Yes, that's right. A magazine to do with repair, and later on you went on to say they'd repair.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely certain. I did a quick recall in my mind, brought it from my subconscious, ran the whole thing through, and there it was.
Do you want to lie down?
19 seconds for you, Clement, on Zen Buddhism, starting now.
In the Kilburn, Wilsdon, House and Maida Vale and St. John's Wood under 18 Badminton League, the Zen Buddhists are absolutely sensationally ahead of all rivals, look where you will, and nowhere, not even in Neasden or Wembley, would you find...
Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still in second place behind Paul Merton. Chris Neal, you're in third place, and we'd like you to take you the next round. The subject is how to write your autobiography. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
If you are a Shrek, looky-likey, potato-faced footballer called Wayne Rooney, you have to write your autobiography in 5 volumes. I do not understand why people think this is strange, because they forget that he can only write in crayon. Oh, I think...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of crayon.
Crayon, no.
I didn't get it out the first time,
did I? No. It wasn't a repetition.
No, hesitation.
Yes, all right. 47 seconds, Paul. How to write your autobiography, starting now.
First, you should make sure you live a good and interesting life, perhaps one with a certain amount of longevity to it, so that when it comes to writing your autobiography, you're not filling it up with endless, deathless pages about the time you came to a particular gig and saw somebody do something that was once interesting to some people who are no longer with us.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of some.
Yeah, some.
Some, yes. Oh, yes,
there's definitely some there. 27 seconds, Clement. How to write your autobiography, starting now.
How to write your autobiography, in a word, is by yourself. You take a pen and put it in your hand.
Paul Challenge.
Well, by yourself is 2 words. In a word, by yourself.
Oh, I see, yes, in a word, by yourself.
Mm. That's what I,
Yeah, it's a bit pedantic.
I think
let him have the benefit of the doubt. He
God
loves
forbid
it.
This game should ever be pedantic.
Yeah.
He said aerosol.
But he has the benefit of the doubt.
He does, yeah.
And he loves his benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
And so, Clement, 20 seconds, how to write your autobiography, starting now.
I think give it the benefit of the doubt. Just sit down, remember where you were, when, what you did, and how. Clement Freud was born on the 24th of April, 1900, in a year I can't mention, because it is the same date as that which I gave for the number...
So Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in the round, he's moved forward. He's now 1 point behind Paul Merton, and Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Picasso. Tell us something about that great painter in this game, starting now.
Picasso is the name of my tailor in Hua Hin in...
Chris Challenge. There was a hesitation, right? 55 seconds for you, Chris, on Picasso, starting now.
Lee Ryan, who was in a boy band called... what was it?
Greg, you challenged.
Yes, it was confusion when boy bands entered his mind.
And he hesitated.
And then he hesitated when
he
thought about it.
That's the correct challenge. 52 seconds for you, Greg, on Picasso, starting now.
Of all of the great artists' periods, I think perhaps my favorite is the Cubist period, because I know the least about cubes. His blue era.
His challenge.
That was it. Lee Ryan was in blue.
That's it. Yeah.
So, Chris, you have him for hesitation. You get a point for that. And we give you a bonus point for the other laugh you afforded us with Blue, Lee Ryan. Right, you've got 43 seconds now on Picasso, starting now.
Me?
Yes, oh, for...
I thought it was just a benefit of the doubt, bonusy thing.
No, no, you've got the subject with the correct challenge.
Sorry.
You get a bonus point.
Well, it wasn't really.
Oh, shut up for a minute. Let me explain.
I gave
you a bonus point because of what you said.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't think it was my subject.
Well, if you don't want it...
Lost it now, haven't I?
All right, so you've lost it to Paul. 42 seconds. Picasso, Paul, starting now.
I've got a print of a Picasso drawing back at home, which I recently saw at...
Clement Challenge.
A prince.
A print.
A print.
You said a prince.
I don't think you did.
Maybe it was the artist formerly known as Prince.
Give Greg a bonus for that remark. He deserves it. Over here, it sounded like print.
Yeah.
You're closer to him. It maybe sounded like Prince to you. Benefit of the doubt to Paul Merton. Keeps the subject. 39 seconds and Picasso starting now.
If one looks at his massive painting of the destruction of Guernica, one can see...
Clement challenged.
Two ones.
Two ones, yes, right. 33 seconds. Picasso with you, Clement, starting now.
When I met Picasso, he was living in Valoris. And he made huge amounts of money simply by getting the back of a paintbrush and putting P into squiggle, which was his signature, onto the back of saucers, which were made...
Paul Charles.
We had back twice.
You did have back twice, I'm afraid, yes?
Well, he did it on the backs of all those...
Yeah. It was his back period.
But if you repeat the word, it is incorrect in just a minute. So, Paul, 20 seconds. Tell us something more about Picasso, starting now.
He worked for the police as a while as one of those artists that draw pictures of people that you've seen committing various crimes. And there was a terrible man in Gutenberg got arrested 3 times because he had a nose in the middle of his face. And it was over here. And over the back here, it looked like somebody else. Picasso was a wonderful man. He was about 80 when he was knocking out all these 15-year-old girls. And wonderful. He'd come around his house, say, paint my pictures. I'd be pleased to do that.
That last little sequence of yours, Paul, was a tour de force. And you deserve the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And you've moved forward. You're ahead of Clement Freud and a few more ahead of Chris Neal and Greg Proops in that order. And it's also your turn to begin. The subject now is the local high street. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, the local high street here in Winchester is probably one of the best high streets I've ever seen in my life. You're joking, aren't you?
You wicked so-and-so.
I haven't even seen it. I came straight here from the station.
I know. And you build them up and they think, what a lovely fella. And you knock them down like that. Well, Chris, you challenge.
There's a hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. So you have the subject of the local high street and there are 50 seconds starting now.
I must say I disagree with Paul regarding the local high street here. It's the kind of place where you can buy a design...
Greg, challenge.
Slight hesitation.
Slight hesitation.
And a little repetition.
And no, just as hesitation. Hesitation. One challenge is enough, Craig.
Thank you, Nicholas.
44 seconds, the local high street starting now.
The local high street is one of the most magnificent places in all of Winchester. Some people prefer the cathedral, but I prefer the Ryman.
Repetition of prefer.
You preferred too much.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm often told that.
Paul, a correct challenge. 37 seconds. The local high street starting now.
When you walk down the local high street here, you do it with pride. There's Timothy White's at one end.
And my challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
Not quite. No, no. He was riding the laugh. No. He was close to it, but not quite. No. Benefit of the doubt to Paul. 30 seconds, Paul. The local high street starting now. Paul! Oh, Chris has challenged him.
I didn't hear you say now.
You didn't think you got it, did you?
No.
Well, Chris has challenged you.
Did you say now? Go now?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, definitely.
I must have been asleep.
I know. You nodded off for a bit.
I think I must have been those pills I bought from Timothy White.
I know. Timothy White's. Oh, it's my youth. Right. 30 seconds, Chris, on the local high street, starting now.
You haven't asked me what my challenge is.
It doesn't matter. We all know. It's
no, I was going to say, Timothy White doesn't exist anymore, does
no.
it?
No. I know. That's why we're all
laughing.
For 35
years.
I used to love Timothy White's in Twickenham. We used to go there on a Saturday before we went to Sandy's, the fishmonger's next door. What a laugh. No.
Oh, tons.
Deviation.
What?
It's got nothing to do with Timothy White's.
I know, but he's not actually got the subject.
I see. But what were you listening to him for, then?
Because he suddenly went off to tell a little anecdote about Timothy White's. He's on another planet.
We used to get homemade wine.
No, no, Chris, please. Greg Poot's challenge first. Hesitation. You're on 30 seconds. The local... The local high street starting now.
Though the local high street enjoys enormous popularity, the German market of Winchester is where all of the good burgers meet. Christmas time is the most festive time here at...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of time.
Too many times, I'm afraid. Yes, it's a tough game, isn't it?
It really is, man.
20 seconds with you, Clement, on the local high street starting now.
My local high street is in Marylebone, and we've just had a travel agent who set up shop. As my eldest daughter lives in France, I went in and said I would like a return ticket to Paris. And the girl looked at me and said, "You're a star." And I said, "Well..."
Who are you challenged?
Can I withdraw my challenge? It was a sort of hesitation, but...
I know, but I'm going to allow it, because I think they enjoyed the idea of what he said so much. So, benefit of the doubt, Clement, which you love. And you've got that, so keep the subject, and we'll hear the rest of the story with 3 seconds to go, starting now.
We also have a fishmonger where you can eat in the back of the...
So Clement Freud was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward, but he's still two behind Paul Merton, but he's quite a few ahead of Chris Neal, and then comes Greg Proops. But Chris, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the round table. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Like the Holy Grail, there is a certain round table of legend. Unlike the former thing that I mentioned, you can still buy one of the round tables at IKEA, though, so that's handy. There was a time when, at the round table, King Arthur would sit there, and on his right hand was Lancelot, and...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was you put a definite err in there.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely.
Yes. Was he sitting on his right hand?
Well, no, on his...
How did he cut up his dinner? They were very close.
They were very close, yes.
Very close, weren't they? But they were very close, weren't they, Nicholas?
Yes, they were having a sort of intimate relationship.
Yeah, you were court jester, weren't you?
Yes.
He was born in 1168, do you know that? 1168.
But someone born in 1168, I have worn quite well, haven't I?
Yeah, you have, yeah.
Yes, right.
Somebody born in the 20th century, you're a disaster. But born in 1168, absolutely wonderful.
Oh, it was a joy to work with you. Right. You have a correct challenge. 42 seconds, Paul. The round table starting now.
Camelot had his own dance teacher, Sir Prancelot. He used to come along every day and say, "I am going to teach everybody how to do Charleston." Merlin wasn't particularly happy with this because he saw himself as a wizened old man, a magician, somebody who was in touch with the powers of the universe. He didn't want to do the foxtrot. Oh, no! He was terrible at it anyway. Genevieve walked in and she said, "Where's Guinevere?" She said, "He's over there."
Clement challenged.
I thought there were two Guinevere's.
No, one was Genevieve.
Genevieve and one of you.
Guinevere.
Genevieve was a car.
Yeah.
your challenge was actually incorrect, because it was Genevieve and Guinevere.
We are relying on eyewitness testimony here.
Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt. You keep the subject. 13 seconds, the round table, starting now.
When I bought my first flat, I was very keen that the first...
Clement challenge, yes.
Hesitation and repetition.
Yes, you can have them both, but only 1 point. 9 seconds on the round table, starting now.
There are no sides on a round table, which is how you can tell its circularity. If you say...
Paul challenge.
The top side is the underside.
That's a very good point. We'll give you a bonus point for it. But actually, what Clement was demonstrating, I think we all knew, was that there's no sides around the table.
Ah, yes.
So I will accept the fact that Clement was correct, and he keeps the subject, and there are 3 seconds, the round table, Clement, starting now.
I had several round tables in my youth at the...
So Clement was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He keeps moving forward, keeps catching up Paul, but doesn't yet overtake him. He's still 2 points behind him, but quite a few ahead of Chris Neal and Greg Proops, equal in third place. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, breaking news. Will you tell us something about breaking news in this game, starting now?
I don't know why it's called breaking news, like breaking wind. It's...
it's challenged.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes.
I wanted you to think about it.
Right. I got that.
I got it. We got the whiff right over here. Oh, I dry myself up sometimes.
When the nurses aren't here, you have to.
It's amazing to be in a show where you can actually get hysterical. Chris.
You want to be sitting out there.
Chris, a correct challenge. 54 seconds, breaking news starting now.
As Clement implied, in polite circles, it's much more preferable to break news than it is wind. And there's a good reason for that, is because if you break news, it tends to be behind a screen. At that point, I feel that...
Paul Giles.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
No, no,
yes.
No, absolutely.
I don't know why you should break the news... Behind a screen.
Well, no, breaking news is behind a screen, isn't it? Because on the television. No, I mean, if I break the news to you, Nicholas, that I find you bloody gorgeous, I realise that is in person. But where most times you go, oh, there's some breaking news coming in, it's behind a screen because it's somebody on the telly telling you.
Are we actually playing right now?
Oh, you're talking rubbish.
Don't knock it. It's been working for 40 years.
All right, Paul, 41 seconds available. Breaking news starting now.
When you hear breaking news, you think to yourself, my God, what an interesting story, because these news channels that broadcast 24 hours a day say, oh, the news is happening all the time. But of course it isn't. It's happening basically in very small doses.
Greg Challenge.
Repetition of happening.
Yeah.
Yes, happening. Well, yeah. Listen, Greg, yeah. There are 30 seconds. You tell us something about breaking news starting now.
The difference between the news in England and America is that in the United...
Oh, yeah, yes.
I know what I did.
What did you do?
And for that, I should be punished.
26 seconds, Paul. Breaking news starting now.
1912, the sinking of the Titanic. Before multimedia, there was many weeks passed before people realised there'd actually been some incident out at sea. There was a bloke staying at New York.
Clement Challenge.
Has it sunk?
Right, Clement, we give you a bonus point because that was...
Did you get a return ticket?
You really learned something on this.
Yeah.
Yes. Paul, you weren't interrupted. Clement's got his bonus. You've got a point for being interrupted. And the 16 seconds breaking news starting now.
During the Boer War, I believe, it was the Times that printed pictures from the battlefields, and people back home looked at this coverage and thought, oh my God, there's some terrible carnage happening on the other side of the world. Before that, people didn't really realise...
Clement Challenge.
I'm afraid people.
Yes, you did repeat people. Clement, you've got in with 2 seconds to go. On breaking news starting now.
Salamanca, Victoria, Toulouse and Waterloo.
Right, so we're moving into the final round. Let me give you the situation. Clement Freud and Paul Merton are equal in the lead, quite a few points ahead of Chris Neal, who is 1 or 2 points ahead of Greg Proops. And Greg, it's your turn to begin, and we'd like you to tell us something about how to throw a great party. 60 seconds starting now.
First, you must go to the supermarket and get as many victuals as humanly possible. Booze, chips, soup, nippy.
Paul Charles.
Hesitation.
Yes and no.
Someone in the front went, yes.
I know, and someone on the other side said no. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Because he was teetering on hesitation,
yeah.
But didn't quite achieve it.
Okay.
So,
With practice, he'll get there.
Yes, right.
Watch me work.
Greg Proops, you have How to Throw a Great Party. You have 51 seconds starting now.
The best party...
Chris Challenge.
Deviation, because earlier on he said that the things you need are booze, something, soup, and something called nippy.
What?
What's nippy?
Don't ask him questions. What's your challenge?
Well, deviation. You don't need nippy to make a great party.
Well, maybe Greg Proops needs plenty of nippy to make a great party.
You haven't met nippy. She's fantastic.
Oh, yes. Right. 51 seconds for How to Throw a Great Party, Craig, starting now.
It's important to have twice as many women at a party as men. Then,
Chris Challenge.
It really isn't.
Chris, we give you a bonus point because they enjoyed your remark, so he keeps the subject, and there are 39 seconds. How to Throw a Great Party, Greg, starting now.
Being from San Francisco, it's often difficult to determine whose gender is whose at a party. Therefore, the idea that there'd be females and males at the same party is a fluid notion that one comes about when one has imbibed a certain amount of controlled substances, perhaps in a closet or out in front on the porch, as we would say. Maybe here you might...
Paul Challenge.
It was hesitation.
Yeah, there was hesitation there. Paul.
He was making me nervous by looking at me.
Paul, the correct challenge? Mm-hmm. 18 seconds. How to Throw a Great Party is starting now.
If you get hold of Nicholas Soames, Conservative MP, who is in, by his own admission, a great party, and lift him up by the legs, get the window pushed so it's completely open, and chuck him out so he hits the floor, that would be, in many senses, throw in a great party. And what a wonderful splash it would make.
Well, with that clever interpretation of the subject, Paul Merton not only kept going, but brought his round to the end, and he brought the show to an end. So it only remains for me to give you the final score. Greg Proops finished in a magnificent fourth place, and Chris Neal, he did very well, finished in a very good third place, and Paul got an extra 2 points at the end, and is finished just ahead of Clement Freud. So we say this week, Paul Merton, you are our winner. Thank you to these four magnificent players of the game, Paul Merton, Greg Proops, Chris Neal, and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with great style and aplomb. And also we're indebted to our producer, Talusha Galani, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're very indebted to this lovely audience here at the Theatre Royal Winchester, who've cheered us on our way, and they seem to have enjoyed themselves. From me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, thank you for tuning in. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.
There are more Just a Minute shenanigans with Nicholas and Co. next Monday, and you can hear that show again just after the midday news on Sunday.